Welcome to Toilets and Titles Down Under Dynasty Edition with your host, At Life from the Ben, and joining me, as always, my co-host, At FF Doormat. How are you today, Matt?
Mate, I'm doing wonderfully well. Actually, I'm not. I've had a bit of a mangle of a week, bit of a bludge of a week, bit of a bludge of a day. I'm grumpy. I'm tired. But I'm feeling a bit better now talking to you, mate, talking some fantasy. And I've got a glass of wine over in the corner here, so I'm feeling a bit better already. How about yourself, mate? How are you going?
Much the same as you, my friend. Much the same as you. Just a bugger of a week. A lot going on. Very busy work-wise, etc. People don't want to hear me whinge about that. Sitting here with you. Got a dimple whiskey. And ready to talk some fantasy football. And today we thought we'd just touch over some of our rankings. And where we've got some, maybe talk through where we've got some discrepancies in our rankings in regards to players we might be a little higher on than the other or lower on than the other, etc. And so, Matt, are you ready to get started?
Let's do it, mate.
Let's do it. Okay. Should we share the sheet with the people or do you want me, or do we just talk? Maybe we should just share the sheet.
Let's share the sheet.
Share the screen. Okay.
Gets our heads out of the way too.
that's absolutely true, mate. So, and you in time you'll be able to find these rankings at Fusion Fantasy Football. Now, that's fusionff.com. Now, let's just go over to the quarterbacks. I've added a sneaky little column here just to show where we're different and where we've got some a bit of discrepancy between us. Like most people, it's pretty universal across the board with the titles Fantasy Fusion crew. Patrick Mahomes number one.
Unless you're Cousin Joe and you're drafting Lamar Jackson in the mock at 101, I don't hate it. Don't love it. But I think you know it's chalk, isn't it? 101's pretty straightforward as Mahomes.
Yeah, he's chalk across the board, and we've got Josh Allen up next. I'm the lowest on Josh Allen at number five. You've got him at number two, but really that's the same tier, right?
Yeah, I think we were talking about offline earlier that for me personally, it was a fun exercise, but I found it quite difficult because I do rank them in tiers, and it's quite easy. You know, you can bunch those young studs together in a tier loosely and juggle them around, but when you're trying to actually put a finite number against it and the position rank, they're in the same tier, but it looks like you're fading him and 2, 3, 4, 5. It's all pretty much they're all these young studs, right, that are going to ball out.
Yeah, they're all young studs, and I mean Josh from FusionFFB.com has him at four, and probably the biggest discrepancy. What's the biggest discrepancy in that tier two between myself and you is Kyler Murray, who I have at two, you have at six, Dak Prescott, who I have at seven, and you have at three. Explain yourself, Matt. Why do you hate Kyler Murray so much?
I'm just right and you're wrong, mate. That's what it is. No, look, I guess, I just think he's going to regress a little bit, Kyler Murray. I guess, probably the chalk move is to move him up a bit. He's young. He's got a new wide receiver. He's got AJ Green's corpse there as well. So he's probably going to kind of ball out. But look, I really like Dak. I think Dak's, he's something special. I think he's in a top offense. They're going to be behind a lot. But I think I was on the clock in a league a couple of weeks ago and I drafted Kyler over Josh Allen, the format of the league, and just, I know the emotion on that. I don't have any shares of Kyler, so I wanted to jump in and grab a share. So there's not much between them, really. It looks like a lot, but flip a coin.
And is that something that you think about a lot when drafting or training for players? Like, I don't have a share of player X, and I've got five shares of player Y, so I'll get a share of player X if they're in the same tier. Is that something you consider?
Yeah, possibly. It depends on the format too, I guess. I own Josh Allen in a format where it's half a point per rush. I guess Kyle is similar there, probably not the same amount as Josh Allen, but maybe he is, I guess, now thinking of it. But yeah, just depends on the format. And, yeah, probably, you know, if you're overexposed to one player, it's good just to diversify a little bit. Otherwise, someone goes down and you know, we're in 17, 18 leagues and your season's gone, or you're losing a whole lot of trade value, you've got to trade for a win-out quarterback. So it's good to diversify a little bit.
And then
why do you hate Dak so much?
I love Dak. I think Dak's a beautiful man. I just am concerned coming off the injury. That's really why he's towards the end of that tier two for me, is just that injury. If it wasn't for that injury, I would have him ahead of Herbert just because of his weapons. Maybe even ahead of Josh Allen. He might come in at five for me if it wasn't for the injury. So I just want to see how he bounces back. But that injury is the only thing keeping him in the bottom of my tier two. But he's firmly in that tier. Now, you've got Russell Wilson at 12. Is he in that tier two for you, or is that really the beginning of your tier three?
Look, probably is the beginning of the tier three. I guess he's a little bit older than these quarterbacks. And I think just that sour taste in my mouth from last year when he sort of, and the year before, towards the end of the year when he regressed a little bit. I don't expect him to do it now. I don't think it's a given. I think it's just one of those things that happen, but maybe that's why I faded him a little bit.
Okay, so he's the beginning of your tier two. So just to specify, that means Russell Wilson is the beginning of your tier three. So that means that Jalen Hurts is in your tier two with Dak Prescott and Justin Herbert.
Not really. I think it's probably Wilson and Hurts together. But Hurts is younger. I believe in Hurts. I think he's going to succeed. He's got another wide receiver there. I think the offense, you know, the whole organization in Philly, you know, they were pretty ordinary last year, and the injuries all over that O-line. So I think he's in for a good year. And he's just a lot younger. So we're talking about value, right? We're talking about point scoring. So for me, the value, Hurts, I can see, you know, increasing in value, where Russell Wilson, I don't know how he increases in value really, you know, another year older next year. So that's probably why. But, you know, I'm a little bit ageist, I guess, as we all can be. But again, man, you got him at nine, right? So it's I've moved him down just a couple of spots from where.
Yeah, just a couple of spots. Yeah, and you're the highest of the Sean Watson. Is that the last of your tier two or the beginning of your tier three? I mean, with these current legal problems, it'd probably be start of tier three, yeah?
Probably for me, I reckon end of tier two. Again, this was normally I'll see the guys. This was a purely infinite, you know, a finite ranking number. And I think we spoke about before, just the way this was set up, it was a little bit tricky. The players were all over the shop, and you had to sort of scroll up and scroll down and whatnot. But yeah, I still think he's a value. And I think, you know, towards start of next year, he's going to be a first round, second round startup pick again.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that assessment. And even though I'm actually the lowest on him amongst the Fusion Tallest Titles crew, I've got him at quarterback 14, partly due to what he's going through at the moment. I've actually traded for him twice this offseason, and aggressively too. I traded Allen Robinson for him straight up in one league, and in another league, I traded Chris Godwin for him straight up. And I have Godwin, maybe people see later, ranked very high among my wide receivers. And the reason that I would make those trades is that in one league, I was really, really stacked and had a plethora of wide receivers and needed another quarterback and just thought he was a value and can wait on him. So I did the trade. In another league, I'm not competing. I need another quarterback. And I think at some point, these legal issues will be behind him. And he'll be back on the field playing for some team. We don't know what that team is yet, but we'll soon find out. Or probably not soon, actually. It's probably a ways away. Now,
yeah, look, I like that strategy. I think, you know, team dependent, you know, depends on what your team is, what you want to do. I picked him up for a single first in the league. It was a smash accept. Someone said, look, you know, any first, I'll take it. I got put him out for 22 first and a coach. And I picked up the Sean Watson, and, you know, Who knows what will happen, and you know what's not saying anything on the case, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if there was some sort of settlement and he's back on the field, early next year at the latest.
Yeah, I mean, not that we're legal experts by any means at all.
But are you struggling if you're coming to us for legal advice?
Yeah, you'd be struggling. You'd be in trouble. Just plead guilty, maybe. But to me, it just makes too much sense for him to probably settle, given that the payout would be less than any money he's probably going to miss via suspension. Though, of course, it could heavily impact his future endorsements, I guess. But with the trial date in Texas not set until, like, I think it's February or March 2022, I just don't see how it's amenable for him for this to drag on that long.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I guess if he's probably getting advice to settle it. And I think from what I've read, he wants to have a he wants to disclose things, and I think they're trying to get him to not disclose. So who knows where that will end up, I guess. But, yeah, hopefully he's back on the field soon if he's innocent and he's balling out again, you know. If not, hope they throw the book at him. But, yeah, look, wouldn't be surprised if early next year he's back playing somewhere.
Where do you think
first round startup?
Do you have any idea where you think he'll end up?
He looked good in the Patriots uniform. I think he'd look well there if he could beat out Mac Jones. He'd get, we've got the cap space for him now. I think he's got a no trade clause, right? So he can choose where he goes. I doubt Texas would Houston would trade him to the Pats. And obviously, he probably doesn't fit our organization either, and it's not one you'd pick if you're a young quarterback and you had to pick. So, not us. But hopefully, he's on the other conference, mate, somewhere in the NFC. So we're not facing him twice every year. What about yourself? You got a sneaky little suspicion where he might go?
None. Maybe Denver if Rodgers doesn't go there. Maybe Carolina if this is all behind him and Darnold stinks it up there. Maybe they go in for him again. Sounded like they were going to get very aggressive for him before all these legal troubles.
Yeah, well, if he ends up in either of those places with that, that wide receiving core at Denver or wide receivers and the coach, Carolina with CMC, that's jackpot, isn't it? So who knows? I saw something questioned without notice. I saw something in a pod somewhere. Or on Twitter, I probably should have saved who it was, but they were just mentioning, Trevor Lawrence is probably going to be the 102 in startup next year if he has a top 12 QB season, like a QB1 season. How do you feel about that? Do you think is it like he's what have we got him 4 or 5 now? So he's mildly successful, or not even mildly. He's I guess if you're a QB1 and your rookie season, that's a pretty large success as a rookie QB. Would you move him up into your 102 there or thereabouts?
Well, top 12 is really kind of broad statement, right? If he finished, 12th, 11th, or 10th, I don't think I could move him up to 102 if you've got guys like, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Kyler Murray finishing as quarterback, 2, 3, or 4, because they're all still really young. So, no, I don't think I would move him to 102 just on the back of a top 12 finish. It would probably have to be like top 6 for me to move to the 102.
You need Justin Herbert. You want like a Justin Herbert sort of even better, right, season.
Even Herbert was only QB. High. He was QB 9.
Yeah. You probably want a little bit better than Herbert. Even then, he's probably just at that in that second tier, right? Like,
yeah. And a lot of it's going to depend on how much he gives you with his legs. Yep. Because the guys who run, like before he got hurt, Kyler Murray was averaging 29 points a game. He was on track to have the highest scoring season ever before he had that slump in the last third of the season. So I think you need that, and I'm not sure. I know he's going to give you a little bit of it. I just don't know how much.
Well, I think he's a bit of an underrated rusher, but, yeah, to move him that high, I guess, when you got these guys that are going to be in the league for another 10, 15 years, and Josh Allen just looks unreal at the Bills, doesn't he? He's just destroying teams. So it'd be hard to move him down as well.
Yep. You're really high on Jalen Hurts, you and Josh from FF from FusionFFB.com. You've got him at 10. Josh has him at 9. Nobody else has him before 16. Explain yourself. Why are you so high on Jalen Hurts? Who isn't going to be the Philadelphia Eagles starting quarterback next season?
I think he's got a great upside. You know that he's got that Konami code QB. I think he's got another wide receiver, another weapon. The O line, hopefully, he's healthy. I think there's a bit of fresh voice there in Philadelphia. The whole organization had a pretty bad year. Even Rager was banged up. In and out of the field. I think he had a labrum tear and something else, a finger. Right, it's just a few little bits and pieces there. So it's almost like the team's got two new wide receivers, really. I like his upside with what he saw. And again, it's that youth, so that's why I've got him at 10.
Okay. Well, I have serious concerns about his passing ability and his ability to see the field and just that whole Philadelphia situation. I think best case scenario, the wide receivers have a lot of upside there, but right now, you're probably saying that wide receiver situation is average. But we'll see. We'll see. He could definitely develop. Everybody was saying the same thing about Lamar Jackson. But I think Lamar showed a lot more in his stint as a starter.
He's only had a couple of games, right, Hurts? Only a few games. The organization is really it's a bit different. Baltimore really built around Lamar, supported him. Whereas Hurts, that hasn't really happened yet. I purely like that upside. I heard that a lot that, he's not accurate and whatnot. I think he's pretty accurate. He's okay in college. And if he takes the next step, I like him. So I'm happy to have him there or thereabouts, in that top 12.
Well, that's absolutely fair enough. Yeah, if you're right and you could be, I'm going to have some egg on my face. Maybe we should make Jalen Hurts a bathroom board bet.
Let's do it, mate.
So I'll say Jalen Hurts isn't a top, is 12 fantasy quarterback okay? Like he won't finish as a QB1.
QB1. QB1, yeah? Let's do that. That's easy.
I don't think Josh Allen will finish as a QB1. And you know what? I'll be generous. I'll give you a 14-team league. No.
Jalen Hurts?
And
I'll take the Josh Allen one to you.
No, not Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. But I'll say 14-team league.
14, jeez. How much of that scotch have you had? That's
Just a nip.
Let's lock it in.
Lock it in? Bathroom board bet.
Write it up, coach. Write it up.
Jalen Hurts finish as a top 14 quarterback. I say he won't. Matt says he will. Put it on the board.
Done.
Now, before we move on to the running backs, actually, I just want to let everybody know that today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. Now, let's move on to the running backs. I don't know why I did that again. And here you can see that we're muchly aligned. And the whole Towards the Titles Fusion FFB crew is aligned on the 101 and the 102, except for Rich, who hates Jonathan Taylor. We'll speak to you about that later, Rich.
If he's a Raider, he'd be 101, right?
Maybe. He's not that high on Jacobs though. Rich is a reasonable man, okay? Rich isn't a homer. Stay off Rich like that. Don't be like that. All right.
Rich is a homer. If there's ever a homer, there's nothing wrong with it. I love Rich.
I love Rich too. Give me a cut of Rich.
He does love his Raiders.
I'm trying to see where we can fight, Matt. Let's have a look. Now
let's go to Cooks. Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook. Why do you hate Dalvin Cook? What has he done to you? Running back 11.
Biscuit legs. Yeah, look, I guess, again, it's that thing where, it's easy to put these guys in a tier. You can put, the younger studs in a tier. You can put the older guys in a tier and sort of loosely have them there somewhere. When you actually got to put it in, I found it difficult to put Dobbins, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Najee in front of an older running back with a history of injuries. So I guess that's those two things. Just he's a bit older and he's got that injury history. Probably might move it around a little bit, but I can't see myself moving up too much really. This is just too much value, you know. Swift, Akers, Najee, Dobbins, Helaire. They're all in front of him for me with you know, McCaffrey's, Taylor, Barkley, Kamara. So maybe that's a bit naive for me. Maybe I'm sleeping on him. He's a stud, but just that injury and age has just caused me to fade. Hopefully he's, you know, he's back to himself destroying teams early next year and he'll be a, you know, top end running back for the next couple of years. But
back to himself. He was RB2 last year. He wasn't away from himself.
Yeah, so maybe I haven't faded him too much. But just he's a little bit older and he's always seems to be injured. So that's why I put him there. You know, again, it's that age, isn't it? You know, these older guys, you can tend to fade him a little bit too much. So maybe that's why I've put him at 11. But for now, that's where he sits for me.
Look, to me, I've got him as my RB4. I've got Kamara as my RB5. They're both turning 26 this season. Personally, I'm more worried about Kamara just because of Breeze moving in on. Is he going to get all those short passes that he got before? So that's why I'd be more concerned about Kamara than Dalvin. But
for me, I just like if I'm on the clock in the startup and I'm drafting a running back, it's not Dalvin Cook, you know. I'm not drafting him there. I'd find it hard to pull the trigger on Dalvin Cook over over J.K. Dobbins or a Swift, you know, or an Akers. I'd want the youth.
But I think you and I are aligned there that even though I have Dalvin Cook as my RB4, where I have to take Dalvin Cook, I'm probably not drafting a running back.
Yeah.
I'm probably not like I'm going in a super flex league. I'm going to start with my quarterbacks and at best, I'm probably drafting a running back in round 3 at the earliest, possibly not till round 4. So even though I love those young running backs and I've got Kamara and Dobbins both as my RB5. I'm going to have to fix that up. But I would be taking Dobbins in the middle of round 2 to early round 3 where I see him going before I take Kamara or Dalvin Cook, who are still going, you know, late first, early second.
Yeah, look, that's fair enough. And I guess the other side of that coin is that, you know, they're the locked-in workhorse at their size, right, where Dobbins has still got that question mark. Is he going to be a timeshare with Gus Edwards? You know, Lamar's going to take a few running touchdowns off him. How much are they going to pass? But, you know, when you do take these older running backs early, which I've done in a draft, I've taken Barkley towards the end of the first, middle end of the first, and I don't feel too good about it. You know, it's not really my MO. A lot of guys do it. I think Rich is a strong dynasty player and he takes running backs pretty early. But, yeah, just for me, it just doesn't feel that right. So that's why I sort of faded Dalvin a little bit.
Makes sense. And one guy that we're both lower on than the rest of the Toilets to Titles Fusion FFB family is Nick Chubb. I've got him at 11. You've got him at 12. I love Nick Chubb as a running back. But in PPR leagues, I don't think you could have him in that top half of the RB1 conversation.
I think it's all Kareem Hunt's fault, right? Like on talent, if you had to rank him on talent, he's there 2 or 3, isn't he? Like he is just on pure running talent, he's unbelievable. You know, he's just love the talent, but timeshare and with that quarterback, you know, and mostly that timeshare he's got to have with Hunt. That's probably why we faded him a little bit. If he gets traded or something, he's going to skyrocket right up to there where Nate Dirtz got him as 3 or 4. I think he's close to that for me without Hunt in that backfield. How about you, mate? If there's no Hunt, where are you ranking him.
Yeah, I think without Hunt, he'd safely get those 45 to 50 receptions that he needs to finish in that top half of the RB1 conversation. So without Hunt, he'd be top six easy for me. Easy. But Kareem Hunt is there, so we'll never know. And man, we are really ageist, you and me. We've got Derrick Henry at 15 and 16. Explain yourself. I'm not going to explain myself, though. I don't want to be held accountable.
Man, I've explained myself for Cooks. Let's hear from the man himself.
Look, I'm just worried about the wall. You know, those running backs who don't catch passes in PPR leagues, they're just dangerous. And look, I want to explain myself a little bit. I draft in a I found that the way that I like to draft, and I mentioned before, is that productive struggle kind of style. I tried lots of ways, but I just like the value insulation that method gives me. And so my rankings are how I would approach a startup, but they're not necessarily how I would trade given a team that's already established and has a roster in place. So I hope that makes sense to people. Does that make sense to you, Matt?
Yeah, well, I think so. There might be some value in just like putting an actual projection list together. I don't want to do it, but it would be valuable to have that, like, you know, where we think they're going to score and where they're valued is completely different, right? I think I traded for Derrick Henry in Kraken for a 23rd first, which I was pretty happy with at the time, but I've been trying to flip him ever since then just because, you know, he's a bit of an older running back. So where you got to take him, similar to Cook, I'm probably not going to own any shares, but, you know, we both expect him to be an RB1 this year easily, right? Like, barring injury, I think he's going to finish as an RB1 this year. And yeah.
But remember, he had to rush for 2,000 yards just to finish as the RB3 overall, yeah, right? So,
but he did rush for 2,000 yards.
Yeah, he did rush for 2,000 yards. But, I mean, if...
Yeah, it's that wall.
If that 2,000 yards, and let me just check how many touchdowns, because I don't have it off the top of my head, 17 touchdowns, right? So he rushed for 2,000 yards and 17 touchdowns. If that drops to 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns, I mean, that's going to be a precipitous drop down the PPR rankings for Derrick Henry, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the reason that I think we have him where we do.
I didn't expect him to finish where he did this year. You know, I was already, not many people did anyway. Everyone sort of faded him. So who knows? He'll probably go and do it again. But because of what we've spoken of, you know, that age, we'll fade him a little bit.
Yeah, definitely fading a little bit. But I think he's going to have a very, very strong season. And so does somebody in my dud IDP league. Derrick Henry got traded for a first round pick in a Superflex league that was then used to select Trey Lance.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, you know, there are some people straight who are up, still very
Trey Lance. Straight up. Trey Lance for yeah. Derrick Henry.
Essentially. Superflex. Yeah.
Trey Lance. Look, Trey Lance side for mine, easy. I'm pretty high on Trey Lance. I think he's seventh overall for me in my QB ranking. But you know, if you want to win now, you know, Derrick Henry, guaranteed Derrick Henry is going to score more points this year than Trey Lance. So maybe that's the play.
Maybe it is. I mean, Trey Lance probably won't do too much year one, right?
Not the first half of the year. I don't think. Maybe he comes on the second half of the year, starts to build a little bit, and I think he'll probably be under the shackles a little bit. They'll probably tie him down a bit.
And lastly, why do you hate Joe Mixon?
Mate, I love Joe Mixon. What are you grilling me for?
I know. I'm just being a pain in the ass. I loved me,
Justin, and John all got him at 15, mate. So great minds think alike. He's sneaky young. I think people fade him a little bit because he's older. He's still sneaky young, but I owned a few shares of him last year, and I was just waiting for him to come back. As soon as he comes back, I'll be right. And just he just didn't get back on the field, did he? So hopefully he's back on and the Bengals have a big year, but. Just a little bit of that unknown is why I've faded him a little bit.
Yeah, look, I've got him at 10. I'm the highest of everybody. He's only turned 25 years old, and he's going to get all the work this season. So I'm super excited. I think as long as he stays healthy, he's got a legit shot at the RB1 overall.
That, look, that's been the same every year, right, for Mixon. It's been the same every year. I guess he's got a quarterback this year. He's got a superstar.
There's no Gio Bernard this year. Yeah. Gio is gone.
Well, I believe in him. I think he's could be an RB1. But to put him that high, for me, just those couple of questions. And he just hasn't delivered. You know, he's got so much talent. But he just has not delivered yet. He's, you know, we make excuses for him, and hopefully we don't have to do it anymore next year, you know, or this year. But if you can't beat out Gio, you know, that's why you're, I don't know what he finished as, but, you know, that's a bit of a question mark for me. But, you know, he's there or thereabouts. He's right on that verge of the RB1 for me.
Yeah, right on the verge. Damn it, I was hoping to get a bathroom board bed out of you, but I don't think it's going to happen with Mixon. Okay. Oh, wait, we've got a bathroom board bet. I think Kareem Hunt finishes an RB2, and Matt doesn't think Kareem Hunt finishes as an RB anything. Come on.
Look, as you mentioned, it was a bit tricky. This spreadsheet was a little bit tricky. It's a great spreadsheet Josh put together, but just I found it a little bit tricky to put together. Obviously, I've got him in ahead of Chris Carson. You know, I've got him ahead of probably Harris. Probably right there, I think, with Sermon around where we've got Sermon 22. He's probably 21 for me, which is that you got a 21 to 11 for there you go. Great minds think alike.
But yeah. Josh, spreadsheet guru, mate, it is hard to miss players in this sheet. And then when you miss a guy and you're like, oh, crap, I've got to go back and rank it, and then you've got to change everybody else.
Yeah, but it does, once you've got it all, it does display well here, doesn't it? Look, it looks great. It's easy. It's easy for everyone to see, but
collates all the rankings. Collates all the rankings beautifully, beautifully. I just saw how low Justin and John are on Dobbins and Edwards. I'm outraged. Dobbins and Edwards Alaire. Mate, I'm going to take issue with these boys.
Mate, there's bathroom bets right there.
That sounds like that sounds like a bathroom bet right there. This feels like a fantasy fight. Oh, mate.
Let's get on. It's on like Donkey Kong. Let's do it.
On. We're going to have to discuss it, guys. Now, just want to let everybody know that the Toilets Titles crew have started a Patreon page, www.patreon.com/Toilets Titles. Tier 1 is $3 per month, and that gets you the T2T team group chat. Tier 2 is $5 per month. Get you early access to the waiver wire episodes, entry into our Frankenstein Listener League, and T2T team group chat. Tier 3 is $10 per month, and you get the one-on-one roster analysis, free entry into our Frankenstein Listener League, the T2T group chat, and early access to the waiver wire episodes. Bonus. Now, guys, Matt, let's move on to the wide receivers. Even though you've only ranked a baker's dozen. And looking at our wide receivers, we closely align here, Matt, for the most part.
Yeah, look, pretty much. I think we have similar values on a bunch of players. But there's a couple of outliers there. So you've got, for me, Jamar ahead of Adams. That sort of stands out to me. You're pretty high on Jamar Chase, which is fair enough. I think I'm pretty high on him too, but you faded Devontae out too. He's not even a wide receiver one for you. That's sacrilegious.
I've got Devontae Adams as wide receiver 13 overall, and I think he's going to start. Look, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to get traded. Maybe that'll come back and I'll look silly. Rodgers has only had the 2 1,000-yard seasons, I think. Devontae Adams has only had the 2 1,000-yard seasons. And I just think that you can get guys who are younger who have more insulated dynasty values. So, again, remember, I'm approaching this as if I was doing a startup. And so the other guys just have that better insulated value for me. And Adams just, I've had him on teams. He does my head in. He's always nicked up all the time. Always game time decision. And for us in Australia, right, those game time decisions are brutal, aren't they?
They are 3 o'clock in the morning when you're waking up, sleeping your eyes, and it's 2:55 and you're trying to adjust 18 teams, your ins and outs and whatnot. It can be pretty tough. You sort of destroyed me. Him and Rogers in a couple of leagues. The stack destroyed me in the playoffs. I think I lost a playoff final to AJ, good mate AJ from Aussie guys. So maybe that's why I'm a little bit higher on him. But yeah, those older guys, that's it, right? Like once you draft them, you're not really gonna be able to trade them for much. You're gonna lose a bunch of capital straight away. Whereas the younger players, you're gonna keep acquiring value there. So I guess that's fair enough to have them at 13. Makes sense. Especially with Rogers there. I'll probably fade him a little bit. I'll probably move him out to 8 or 9. For mine, but you know, I think I mentioned before I tried to trade DeAndre Hopkins in a league, even just for a single first, and I couldn't even get a nibble. That was, you know, that's when the draft is going on, so you're paying a premium for firsts then, I guess. But these older guys, they're just, you're stuck with them, really, aren't you? Know, once they get to 27, exactly. 28, they're on your roster.
Wide receivers at that 27, 28 age, you're stuck with them unless you're willing to take a heavy discount, right? And it's probably not worth taking that discount based on the points you're going to get, especially if you're a contender. I want those assets that I take, especially in the, say, the top 6 rounds of a startup draft, to be really liquid, to be the type of assets that every other owner in the team, in the league, would want to trade for. And with Rogers, Devonta Adams, that's just not the case anymore.
Yeah, look, definitely not. There's that big question mark, like you said, of Rogers as well. So Jordan Love comes in. Who knows what that looks like? I know you're pretty high on him, but he's not Aaron Rodgers, not this year, not close to it anyway. So yeah, that approach makes sense.
We're both stupidly high on CD Lamb. He's our wide receiver 2 overall. Both you and I, we're brave men. Are we brave men or are we stupid men?
Look, that was probably one of the easiest picks for me. Really, I love his profile coming out. Love the landing spot. Love his talent. I think he's just going to have a massive year this year. And if Amari does move on with their cap situation, you know, the sky's the limit. You know, could have put DK there or thereabouts or Jefferson, but I think it's a clear, not a tear break, but I've got him ahead, slightly, clearly ahead of those two players.
Fair.
How do you feel on AJ Brown? Is he still the one for you with the Julio news?
Yeah, he's still the one for me. I think that the Julio news, I don't think it affects him too much. He could only get so many targets in that offense. I still think he's going to get a lot more targets than last year because of Geno Smith moving on. I don't think Fisk's going to do much. And remember, Humphries has gone too.
He was banged up last year too, right? Like, he's still my one as well. He was banged up for a portion of last year. Who knows if they suddenly do a Bills and start throwing the ball a little bit more. Obviously not as much as the Bills are, but, you know, who knows what they could do. We just don't know. We expect them not to, but, you know, who knows what might happen. So if he's more efficient and drawing, you know, lesser matchups, why would you fade him?
Exactly. Why would you fade him? And I think Julio Jones will actually make his life easier, probably more easier than, you know, I love Corey Davis, but I think Julio Jones is an alpha wide receiver, and that's going to make life a lot easier for AJ Brown. Probably our biggest next discrepancy is Terry McLaurin. I've got him at 16. You've got him at 10. I mean, for me, it's just that the long-term quarterback situation in Washington, really.
Yeah, look, I guess that's something that I haven't thought about. I like Fitzpatrick this year. I think he plays the season. I think he has a good season. I think they make the finals. I think he doesn't get benched. But there's every chance he does, right? There's every chance he does get benched. Every chance he doesn't ball out, throws a bunch of interceptions. Even if he doesn't, what's that look like the following year? Who's that quarterback going to be? So maybe you know, I should maybe adjust him a little bit. But on talent and landing spot this year, I guess that's why I've got him around that 10 mark.
And I know I've had a few digs at you, so I'll let you have some digs at me. I've got DJ Moore at wide receiver 6. Come at me, bro.
Mate, explain yourself, Mr. Ben. Come on.
I love DJ Moore. I just love watching him play. I love how silky smooth he is. With Sam Darnold, I think it'll all come together for him this year. He's going to get those touchdowns are finally going to come.
I love his talent. I like the organization. I do like Darnold. But I love Robbie Anson. I really do like Robbie Anson. So that's the reason why I'm not higher on him. But you know, he's close enough for me. I know a lot of people really fade DJ Moore. I've not faded him at all, but it's just that those couple of question marks on Robbie Anson and Sam Darnold. Hopefully Sam Darnold gets a fresh start. He's very young, talented player, good organization. They had every chance to pick another quarterback in this year's draft, right? They could have taken their pick, made moves if they wanted to, but they didn't. So I guess that's a vote of confidence there. But haven't seen it, recently for DJ Moore. That's why he's 13 for me.
If I can get DJ Moore as my wide receiver one on a fantasy team in like round four of a startup, I'll smash on that all day long.
So all you're on the day. Turn, you might be getting DJ Moore and Godwin on the turn. You're loving that. You've got Godwin at 8-2. That's happy with that. Look, for me, it's I guess it's similar to McLaurin. You don't know what that's going to look like next year with Brady, but I think he's off contract, right? Or he's got an option. Yeah. This might be his final year.
He'll be a free agent. Next season. So we'll see what happens with Godwin. I love Godwin's talent. He's 2019. Was so massive, and I just love watching him play. I think he's got a chance to touch a ton of passes. If anything happens to Antonio Brown or Mike Evans, if one gets injured, Godwin can just catch so many balls. And I hope that he leaves Tampa Bay and goes to a team with a young quarterback for the long term. Because it doesn't look like Tampa's going to have that. And I think if that happens, then his value skyrockets.
Yep. Yeah, fair enough. I guess the only minor, I've got him at 11, right? So it's we're pretty close. You're 8, I'm 11. He was banged up a lot last year too, right? And Brady having another year in that system, I think he looks a little bit better this year. But it's crowded there, right? You've got Mike Evans. You've got a couple of receiving backs, Gio and Fournette and Scotty Miller, Antonio Brown. But he was banged up all year. He was in and out all year last year. So maybe you scratch that off again and he's, an early wide receiver one.
Yep, I think that is a definite possibility. I think he'll finish as a top 12 wide receiver in overall points for sure, I reckon. Is that a bathroom board?
He probably will. Let's put it in there. Let's just put it in there. I do like Chris Godwin. I've got a couple of shares. I got it at 11, so I think he'll finish as a wide receiver one. But let's just lock it in there, mate. For close enough for me. I think it's a big crowd this year, so let's get it in there.
Right.
One I have got for you. I haven't ranked him, so I can just stay, nice and cozy here and take a little pot shot at you. But T. Higgins as 12 after Jamar Chase is 7. You're still high on Higgins, not fading him at all with the landing spot there and with Burrow's injury?
No, not at all. You know what? I probably am in comparison to where I would have had him if they didn't take Jamar Chase.
Yeah, look, that makes sense. I think I drafted him in one league before the draft, and they took Chase, so a little bit. I had him, then they took Chase, so a little bit disappointed. But yeah, look, he's still talented. I like that organization too. I don't know if we'll put him at 12. Obviously, I couldn't because I've got DJ Moore 13, so he's up for me. But probably Tyler Boyd really is the one who's going to suffer the most, and might be a similar AJ Brown situation. He's going to have another alpha wide receiver there. Might help him along a bit.
Fair. Should we take a quick gander at the tight ends?
Let's do it.
I mean, there's not really much to talk about here. We're all pretty aligned, and the tight end position is pretty chalkish, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I think, there's only, four guys, seven guys that you want, really. And after that, you're fading them. If you miss that, where's the tier for you? Like, is it Fan? Is it Dallas? Goat it? Once you miss those early guys, it's you're waiting on your tight end. I feel.
Well, that tier two is a really big tier, isn't it? I'd probably say that my tier two stops This is tough, man.
So they're all the same, aren't they?
Yeah, it's just, it's all much of a muchness. I mean, you've got Tyler Higbee ranked at 18. He's probably tier three, right? You've got Logan Thomas at 12. I didn't rank Logan Thomas in the 13 tight ends that I ranked. I put Cole Kmet at 12. I think it's hard, man. Man, this is the analysis people tune in for, this indecision.
It's the top four, right? You got Kelsey, Waller, Kittle, Pitts already. I think that's pretty much your chalk four. Maybe Mark Andrews sneaks in and Hockenson and Fant. And then that's for me, that's all I'm interested in. If I'm not getting them in the startup after Fant, then I'm waiting to pick up a Gronkowski or a Cook, whoever's going to start it.
God, it's probably in there for me as well.
Well, hopefully Hurts is moved on sooner. Right? I think the capital implications are why he hasn't been moved on. So if he's moved on, obviously, I think maybe that's where that cutoff is. And then the tier three is just whoever happens to be on the board. The deepest is probably who you're going to end up with, really. Maybe Irv Smith. Irv's a bit of a value. Maybe after Irv, then you take a dart throw late.
Agree. Tight ends are pretty much to talk about, right? If you don't get one, like I said, if you don't get one of those seven or eight, you're just waiting. I think a more interesting conversation is, can anybody break into that top tier one who isn't in there already? I think Hockenson will.
Yeah, look, I think if he had been fit his rookie year, he might be close to that already. Just interesting to see how his quarterback plays out this year. I think we both love the talent coming out, and there's not much competition there. If anyone can, it'd probably be Hockenson. That's pretty much it, really. Maybe Mark Andrews was close last year, or the year before, so maybe he might bump into that top four guys. I think out of Kelsey, Waller, or Kill, I'd probably want a Waller share, even though I've got him a little bit later, just on that youth and talent. I wouldn't mind a Waller share, so I might move him up a little bit. But what about Pitts for you? What are you expecting this year? Obviously, he's your tight end one here and mine as well, but do you think he has that season to adjust as the chalk take, right? Tight ends take a little while to adjust, or you see him pulling out of the gate?
I think that he'll do enough to go into next season as the tight end one in Dynasty Startups. And when I say enough, I think he probably only needs to have 750, 800 yards receiving to go into the next season as the startup Dynasty tight end one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's fair enough. I think he's already there for us now, right? So I think he has a great season. And Kelsey's a little bit older, so that probably helps too. So he's already there for me. I can't see it changing. But I wouldn't be surprised if he clicks over 1,000 yards.
Yeah, it could happen with Julio gone for sure. There's not much else there now besides Calvin, right? It's really the Calvin and Kyle Pitts show. A little bit of Russell Gage on the side.
Yep.
And that's all.
Just needs a bit of health, I think, and it'll be sweet.
Yeah. So just want to let everybody know how to listen to us. You probably know if you're listening at the moment. Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, Facebook, the Toilets to Titles, and When a Family Breaks Facebook page, and, of course, Spotify. Please hit the like and subscribe button and throw us an Apple Podcast iTunes review. And we're also giving away a Trey Lance mini helmet. You need to just donate a minimum of $2 to the Tim Tebow Foundation, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and email a screenshot of your donation and subscription thoughtsatitles@gmail.com to be entered. Yeah. So, Matt, was there anything else that you wanted to talk about today?
No, I think we've covered it pretty well, mate. How about yourself? Do you have anything else you want to?
No, I think, got some trades and stuff, but we might save them for the next episode and just leave the people here with the rankings discussion.
Happy days. 3 months out to football.
Less than 3 months now. Less than 3 months.
Less than 3 months, yeah. Less than 3 months. Love that.
Did you get your Game Pass renewal subscription?
No, not renewal yet. I think it's no. If yours haven't got mine yet.
Got mine. Got mine.
Locked it in.
Locked it in, mate. Locked it in.
Nice. It's probably in my spam somewhere.
It probably is. It probably is, sir. Anyway, people, I hope you enjoy your day and your week. Signing off, Toss the Titles crew, at Life from the Ben, at FF Doormat. Catch you later.